Greetings and good day. This is Krista Henry for CKMS Radio Waterloo 102.7. It's great to be with you. Today, we will be looking at the impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic on women in the workplace. According to Statistics Canada, 1.5 million women in Canada lost their jobs during the first 2 months of the pandemic. This led to unemployment rates as high as 20% among women, compared to 13% among their male counterparts. The YWC Canada has since developed a feminist recovery plan that emphasizes that women's rights and gender equity could see the biggest rollback if left unchecked. I spoke to Rosalind Gunn, Director of Marketing and Communications of the YWCA Cambridge, to discuss the impacts COVID-19 has had on women in the workplace in the Waterloo region.
We provide a lot of sort of wraparound services, childcare, shelter services, employment programs, gender-based violence intervention programming, summer camps, you name it, we provide it. We are one of the largest housing providers in the country, one of the largest childcare providers in the country. So we certainly have this feminist legacy that we continue to build on in the work that we do.
And part of why we're talking to you about today is, according to Stats Canada, 1.5 million women in Canada have lost their jobs during the first 2 months of the pandemic. And as you know, it's been an ongoing on and off with employment. And so we wanted to know if in the region, if you guys have seen similar in the work that you do.
Yes, absolutely. As soon as the pandemic hit, when there were lockdowns happening, it was happening largely in those areas of work that women are concentrated. So the five C's, as has been dubbed by, I think it's Anjum Sultana in the Feminist Economic Recovery Plan. Those five C's, caring, clerical, catering, cashiering, and cleaning. Those were the jobs that immediately were shut down. And by and large, it's about 50% of women workers who were engaged in those jobs. So that was an immediate and massive loss to jobs. And then add on top of that, school closures, childcare closures. So women, if they didn't lose their job, maybe they had to step back from the labor market. We saw a massive dropout from the labor market of women, and a lot of that was attributed to taking on the caring responsibilities. And we also know, and we had commissioned through the Feminist Shift, which is a coalition between YWCA Cambridge and YWCA KW. We had commissioned Data for Good to sort of mine all of the publicly available data for the region. This was before the pandemic, but what they found was that women were already 3.1 times higher than, more likely rather than men to be taking on more of the family responsibilities inside the home. And so you can imagine how much that compounded when schools were closed, childcare was closed. We also know that even before the pandemic, women were concentrated in low wage and part-time jobs. Those jobs, more or less, more often than not, they don't have paid sick days. So you're in low-wage part-time work. If you're lucky to still be going to work, you're on the front lines, but you don't have paid sick leave. You don't have childcare for your kids. It's this constant struggle of juggling all of those things. You can't take time off because then you can't feed the groceries for your kids to eat. And we saw this directly with the participants who access our programming. Almost immediately, our board and our staff had been getting together food hampers and even just activity kits to be sent home to participants just to help sort of mitigate the impacts of either reduced work hours or just reduced ability and time to get out and get the groceries and get the things they needed for their children.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I know you mentioned the food hampers and the assistance. Is there any other way that your organization has been supporting women, whether it's through maybe helping them to reskill, upskill, or help them out in terms of getting out of these 3C industries? Is possibly something else?
Yeah, I mean, so in the height of the pandemic, the immediate need was immediate assistance. So we were looking ahead to reskilling and things like that that we would need in recovery. But at the time, we were providing a lot of one of our programs is called Women in Transition, and so we had outreach workers who were organizing mood walks just to get women outside and to connect and to have a community of other women that they could share with 1 hour a week, get together. They were also providing counseling services to a lot of the women And then also connecting them with other community organizations. But then at the same time, we were working with YWCA Hamilton, who, in partnership with FedDev Ontario, we were able to develop this program, a reskilling program, and we're in the midst of launching that right now. And the goal of it is to upskill, reskill women, and to get them into manufacturing and data science, so typically male-dominated work fields. And the amazing thing about this program is that it's a holistic program. We have a partnership with the University of Guelph and Brescia College. Brescia College will be doing, it's called the Bold, Brescia Bold program, I believe. Mm-hmm. And it's providing those sort of the softer skills, confronting the concept of imposter syndrome and, problematizing the concept of that and understanding that it is a result of patriarchy, of racism, of all of the isms and oppressive systems that we all exist under. And so it's equipping women with the skills and the confidence just to notice and to realize that they are capable of entering these workplaces. And so we're launching that right now. We're just taking applicants. And we're very hopeful that... So we're very excited about this. It's a number of member associations, YWCAs across southwestern Ontario, who will be participating in this program. YWKW is doing it as well. And we're excited about it because there's a massive need for workers in skilled trades and manufacturing. And there are women who have the skills. A lot of them are immigrant women with foreign earned skills. A lot of them are women who have been trained here too. And for a number of reasons, they're not getting hired in these jobs, or they aren't being matched with them, they aren't finding them, or maybe it is a matter of get this certificate, and it's all free. I can't remember the exact length, but it's quite a long program, but it's all free. It's paid for by FedDev Ontario. And this will be the leg up to get them into those workplaces. We know, we've spoken to a lot of our community partners, a lot of these companies who are in manufacturing, and they want to diversify their workforces. They know they have a diversity problem, and they know that they really need to address that. And we're very hopeful that this is one of those ways that we can do that, and this is one of those ways we can get women into higher paying and more stable jobs.
And throughout this last almost 15 months, was there any particular story that you came across or anything that you saw that really drove home to you some of the equalities when it comes to men and women in the workplace?
Yeah, I mean, it's not one particular story. I think it's this shared narrative. Women with children are exhausted. And we know, obviously, parents share the home and caring responsibilities. But largely, and we have the data that shows this, largely the responsibilities still fall on women. They're exhausted. Even if they're working from home, they have children underfoot. If they can't get them into childcare, we know we have a childcare crisis where there are enough spots for 20% of the children in Waterloo region. So we have a crisis of availability of childcare, of affordability of childcare. So, even if a parent could afford to put their children in childcare when they were open during the pandemic, could they get a space? And so that, I think, it is one of the bigger ones. But then when you think about the essential workers, these low-wage workers who have no access to paid sick days, and we heard the stories from our participants, they have to go to work. They don't have paid sick time. They don't have care for their children. They can't, when we couldn't mix homes, they couldn't just have their parents come and babysit their children. There is a higher risk with older populations. They couldn't have neighbors come and babysit. There were so many compounding factors that were making life absolutely impossible for a lot of women. And it was certainly felt most severely among lower wage women, Black women, Indigenous women, and women with disabilities. And I read a report recently that showed that ODSP recipients were they had access to some of the fewest supports, and they were also some of the highest numbers of those who were unemployed as a result of the pandemic. So I can't imagine how this last year and a bit has been for some of the people who are the most marginalized by our current systems.
I think everyone thinks about the difficulties for mothers, for example, but what about young women who are competing now with so many other people trying to get entry-level jobs, with so many jobs being lost?
That is another one of the greatest heartaches, I think, or heartbreaks of the pandemic, I think, of all young people, really. This lockdown generation who've lost almost two years of school. I know that they're scared. I know that a lot of our younger participants, we took all of our youth programming virtual, and we've always been over enrolled for these programs because they just needed some sort of socialization. They needed a space to have that validation of, yep, we're all in this really leaky boat together. And I know that there's a lot of fear and anxiety over their futures. I think volunteer hours are becoming mandatory again for high school students, and where and how are they going to get them when so many workplaces are still remote? I think policy really needed to show a little more compassion for young people, and I think it's a really long and hard road ahead for young people and, yes, of course, young women.
That was Rosalind Gunn, Director of Marketing and Communications of the YWCA Cambridge, giving her perspective on the impact she has seen of COVID-19 on women in the workplace. I also spoke to Jennifer Gordon, Director of Advocacy at YW Kitchener-Waterloo. YW Kitchener-Waterloo works to improve the lives of women and girls by offering early learning and care in a variety of ways. I asked Jennifer to reflect on the impact of COVID-19 that she has seen in the workplace, or what may be some of the reasons unemployment rates for women were as high as 20% when the pandemic first began.
When you look at women's work, in particular as we came into the pandemic, and as arguably maybe we're coming out of the pandemic, or at least getting accustomed to pandemic realities, one of the things you really need to consider is where women are working. There's a traditional stronghold on where women tend to find themselves in work, right? So we're looking locally. There's a large percentage of women that work in, for example, hospitality and restaurants, that sort of focused work. We all know the reality of restaurants at the moment, between open, closed, curbside pickup, dine in, dine out. And we know that women working in those roles have essentially lost the stability of their income that way, but also a number of restaurants have closed or had to be very strategic about how they reopen and bring staff back on. So if you take a look at just where women are centralized in work, care work as well, those are the sectors that are hit hardest by the pandemic. So they were already sectors that were sort of complicated with issues before we went into the pandemic, which is why I have a hard time kind of sitting with the notion that the statistics that we had as a collection of women in terms of employment and financial stability before we went into the pandemic is really the benchmark that we're trying to, get back to, right? So yes, lots of women have lost their jobs. This is very real on a local level, as well as a lot of the other sectors that have been holding the pandemic, the social service sector, the health sector, are also largely dominated by women, right? Teaching as well. And so we're sort of on two different sides of this coin, in terms of like the stress of the pandemic and what that's meant, but also looking at these sectors that have been decimated by the realities of the pandemic that haven't bounced back or aren't in a position yet to bounce back. I think as long as we're in the thick of what the pandemic is, they won't mm-hmm. Have the opportunity to bounce back in a way that can be strategic. So I sort of caution about just saying, women are back in the workforce because there were complications. Some of these sectors were lower income or lower pay, I should say, sectors as well. With it, they house part-time work, precarious work. The second half of that consideration, though, is also how we're looking at childcare, right? So with schools being closed, childcare centers open and closed as well. We have a better grip on that now as a society, but particularly in the beginning of the pandemic, those were real realities, as well as shifts to working from home. We've sort of seen that a number of women have had to make the very strategic decision for their families to drop their employment, right? So we also have to take that into consideration and the impact that that infrastructure that surrounds women's work also has crumbled and suffered within this pandemic, and how that has impacted people's choices to be able to work or not work or make really hard decisions about their their careers in contrast with caring for their family and providing the support needed there.
And as you arguably said, as we're heading out of the pandemic now, do you sense any hesitancy from the women that you work with in terms of going back into the office, even as we head as the back to school is on loom? Because, I mean, we don't know if a child has a runny nose, who will be there to have to go and pick them up? And that impacts especially probably the female.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really clear that there's still that traditional role when it comes to familial responsibilities and other things in our community, not like most other communities, at least in Ontario, Canada context. I think that women are in a really, like, so mothers, if we narrow it down, that are parents, are in a really difficult situation where they don't know what's happening next. And I think our childcare centers have kind of been a little bit, and our school programs have been a little bit victim to this too, where the shifts that we saw in the early pandemic, where things were changing every 20 minutes, didn't really change for that sector. So parents still don't completely know exactly what back to school plans are and what the tolerance is for, like you said, a stuffy nose. Is that just someone being sent home, you know? I think there's a different expectation that women should be able to both be teacher, support their kids while also working from home and other things, that somehow the elimination of a commute has somehow made this like superhero power that that these parents can handle all of it and everything. So I think that there's a little bit of that. I think there's also, you're also assuming that there's a job to go back to. There are job losses that will be lifelong job losses, and that's just the reality of what it is. So hesitancy, yes, for those who have the luxury of going back or are still working in some capacity. Ambiguity, absolutely. I think once we start looking at when the federal government in particular starts to move beyond subsidizing the realities of employment loss due to the pandemic, as we come out, we're going to start to see a little bit of a bottlenecking in terms of women being in really hard positions about whether they have the economic means for their family by working and or if they can afford themselves with the work that they're offered in previous employment, etc. If that can actually support the family's needs to have childcare and other things. I don't know, it's really complicated. I think the best way that I like to look at it, kind of beyond the statistics, because we can gain jobs over here and lose jobs over here, but there's still that inherent imbalance when it comes to, you know, income, wages, division of labor with the household and home, or sorry, with the household and work, is to look at sort of that feminist economic recovery model. So the YWCA Canada came up with, they did a whole bunch of work really early on in the pandemic to do some advocacy in the community, but also at a federal level to highlight all the different areas that women were being impacted. So in through childcare, in through violence, in through the employment and the types of jobs that were disappearing and appearing, and how women fit in traditionally, also skill-wise, to those. You know, how we look at leadership, you know, what are folks saying in terms of like who's making the decisions on the behalf of women as we look towards a recovery. And then how do we recover so that we're not just where we were before, which was arguably trailing behind the prosperity of, you know, male and other community member counterparts.
And what, Jennifer, do you believe are the ways in which employers can assist women on the job moving forward?
I think flexibility in workplace is going to be a big one. I think understanding the dynamics that a woman is balancing, particularly in times when there might be flexibility for that person to work from home or other things. Again, we're not necessarily looking at all jobs having that that opportunity. But I think really employers need to start making a commitment. So the non-traditional fields need to start making a commitment towards how we engage women, kind of like how STEM has very purposely set forth around that. And then we also need, like, we need decision making at a higher level that starts to engage some programs like reskilling programs that allow us to kind of combat those traditional hiring practices, as well as encouraging more women into other sectors and building capacity in other sectors. So it isn't just like, you know, look out for your, you know, your staff. It's a systemic issue that employers definitely have a part in, but it's government, it's community, it's employers, it's large employers, it's small employers. It's really just something that we need to consider. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of that change is still at the mercy of what the pandemic does next.
Thank you, Jennifer Gordon, Director of Advocacy at YW Kitchener-Waterloo. To wrap up this feature, I've asked Rosalind Gunn, Director of Marketing and Communications of the YWCA Cambridge, to give her take on what the community can also do to assist women in the workplace and the work of her organization.
I think it's listening. There are so many people who have been talking about this since the early days of the pandemic, the unequal impacts of the pandemic. We saw that in some of the poorest neighborhoods where people were living in crowded homes with multi-generational families living together, and all these were the places that were the most impacted. I think it's listening, and it's so hard to tune into to these discussions. I think we're all exhausted. I think we're all sort of we've kind of all gone into ourselves. Everyone's the enemy, everyone is a danger. But I think people really need to try to soften their hearts and open their ears and listen to what people are calling for. And those very basic things, paid sick day, childcare, it will make things better for all of us.
Thank you to both the YWCA Cambridge and YW Kitchener-Waterloo for speaking on the effects of the global pandemic on women in the workforce. This program is part of the Local Journalism Initiative Grant Program and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Government of Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. Check out the archived version of this program and other episodes on radiowaterloo.ca/news and other stories commissioned under the Local Journalism Initiative at canada-info.ca. You can also follow us on Twitter at Radio Waterloo. If you want to get in touch with comments or ideas about stories to cover, email us at news@radiowaterloo.ca. My name is Krista Henry for the CKMS Newsroom. Thank you for joining us.